which will be by Wendy Gosliner. And she's a researcher and lecturer in community nutrition at the University of California, Berkeley, and works with the California Endowment's Healthy Eating and Active Community Student Nutrition and Physical Activity Survey, where she was quite instrumental in its design and implementation. And she's going to be talking with us today, let's see if I can get my forms done here, about the effect of that of the Healthy Eating Active Communities Project in California on nutrition and physical activity attitudes and behaviors of 7th and 9th grade students. So, Ms. Gosliner.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. The first thing to say about the Healthy Eating Active Communities Project, which is called HEAC, how many of you have heard of that acronym HEAC before? Oh, good. So a lot of you have. Is that it is a big collaborative effort. So there are many grantees, there's a huge evaluation team, a huge technical assistance team, a couple of funders. So everything I'm talking about today is the result of the efforts of many, many people. And I have no financial disclosures I need to make. So just to give you a sense of what I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to start by telling you just a little bit about the Healthy Eating Active Communities program and a little bit about the data collection piece that I'm going to be sharing findings with you from, and then to highlight some nutrition findings and highlight some physical activity findings from our survey. So HEAC, as I said, it's a multi-component program. It's funded by the California Endowment, and it began in 2005. It's all about reducing health disparities and changing the nutrition and physical activity environments for youth in particularly low-income communities. There are six communities participating in the project. And in general, the grantees were asked to develop strategies to change nutrition and physical activity-related policies and improve the environments in a number of different sectors that children spend their time in. So they were looking at schools, they were looking at after-school programs, they were looking at neighborhoods, healthcare, and the media marketing environment. So the grantees are working on all these different areas to really try to make impacts. So the piece that I'm going to talk about, which is one small piece of the evaluation of this program, is a survey that we conducted with students in these communities, and it's cross-sectional, so I'm going to be talking about comparisons, and we looked at a group of students in 2006 and then another group of students in 2008 in the same places, but they're not the same students across time. The students, we asked them to complete a survey at school, and they were in class during the time, and the survey was pretty comprehensive because the program was quite comprehensive. So it took students somewhere between about 20 and 45 minutes, so we had a whole class session for them to complete these. And the survey questions were aimed at capturing the effects of the environmental changes on the attitudes and behaviors of the students. So we, while the programs are really focused on kids K through 12, because of the nature of this particular evaluation piece, we focused on 7th and 9th grade students. We thought that they were the most likely to be able to answer the questions that we were interested in asking. And we chose 7th and 9th grade because we're also looking, California requires all schools to administer the fitness gram. So we are also looking at outcomes like BMI and fitness levels. I don't have that data yet to share. But so we wanted to be consistent with our sample. So 7th and 9th grade is when they do the fitness gram. And we have one middle school and one high school in each community. These communities, some of them are working in many schools, but they chose one for the evaluation, and that's the data that I'll be sharing. So the data I'm sharing is from 13 of the intervention schools, 6 middle schools, 6 high schools, and a K through 12 school. And this is just what our sample looks like. We have a large sample. More than 3,500 students completed the questionnaire in both 2006 and 2008. We had a pretty good split, male-female. And as you see, it's a fairly diverse sample of students who completed it, with the majority identifying themselves as Hispanic or Latino-Latina. So as I mentioned, I'm going to be showing you some data that just show the change over time. And just so you know, they are adjusted for gender, ethnicity, and also cluster design effects at the schools. So in nutrition, now first before I show you what we found, I should tell you a little bit about what HEAC did in case those of you who aren't familiar. How many of you are from California? How many of you are from a state that has adopted policy about the types of foods and beverages that can be sold in schools? And how many of you are not? Okay, so we have a lot of non-voters. But many of you are familiar with some of the state of legislation. The HEAC program actually asked the grantees, because I'm going to be talking about the school findings, so I'm just going to tell you about the school nutrition piece right now. But they had asked the grantees as a minimum standard to adopt competitive food standards in the schools. And those wound up being adopted statewide in SB 12 and 965 in California. So they were really looking at the most, the strongest offending foods, getting rid of soda in schools, and then also the nutrition standards, which were 35% of the calories from a product could be from fat, no more than 10% from saturated fat, and no more than 35% sugar by weight in the foods. So let me show you a little bit about what it looks like. In terms of attitudes, students actually had quite high attitudes about nutrition both time periods. We didn't see too much change there. But students really, 90% of students thought that nutrition was important for feeling good, 90% for doing well in school, and even more for being healthy. Something that was really interesting was that students actually, we asked both time periods, it didn't change much, but we asked students a number of types of foods and what they thought would be most important to be able to buy at school. And while we thought, you know, chips and candy and soda would probably be on the students' mind as most important, the top item both years was fresh fruit. And the difference was about 70% of the students said that fresh fruit was important to be able to buy at school. And only less than a third said that candy and chips and soda were important to be able to buy at school. That's a huge discrepancy. And most students, both time periods, perceived that foods sold at school aren't healthy. About less than a third, again, thought that any of the schools in school breakfast, school lunch, or food sold in other venues at school were perceived to be healthy. So this is looking, we asked students about their purchasing patterns during the school day. Where did you buy food? And this is just looking at the competitive venues, so this isn't showing you the school meals. But what we saw was a decrease over time in the students buying from vending machines, snack bars, fundraisers, on school grounds. And there was some concern that, well, if we stop selling some of these things at school, students will go somewhere else and buy it. But we see a similar decrease in student purchases from off-campus carts or trucks, off-campus restaurants, and the off-campus store stayed the same. So we don't see a big increase in the students saying that they're going other places to get these things that they're no longer able to purchase at school. Unfortunately, one of the things that was not required of the grantees in this project, but was hoped, was that we'd see some improvement in school meal and school meal participation, and we're not seeing that right now. It has not been a strong emphasis yet, so the patterns didn't change too much in terms of school meal consumption. But now let's talk about some of the foods that were eliminated in the policy. I have sports drinks on here because some of the schools actually did go ahead and eliminate sports drinks, even though that was not a requirement and the state law did not require them to do so. But what this slide is showing you is the percent change in the number of students who reported in the orange bars consuming these items at school compared to those reporting that they consumed the items at home. And so what you see is you see a decrease in the percent of kids saying that they're consuming candy, chips, those are regular chips, not baked chips, soda, and sports drinks at school. And what you're not seeing is a similar increase in the percent of students saying that they're doing those things at home. So one of the big criticisms we always hear is, well, if you don't have it at school, they're just going to, you know, they'll go somewhere else, which we see they're not really saying they're doing, or they'll bring it, or they'll buy it from a friend. We are not seeing those trends. We are seeing that they're not getting it at school, and it's actually leading to a decrease in their consumption at school, and it's also leading to a decrease in their overall consumption. So this slide is showing you the percent of students that said that they ate these things at all the day prior to the day that they completed our survey. And you can see an across-the-board decrease in these items. So removing candy, chips, soda, and sports drinks from schools actually did translate into a reduced consumption of those items overall. And I just want to touch briefly on the healthy foods. We didn't focus a lot on improving the consumption of healthy foods, and this slide just shows that they're a little bit more all over the place. There's no clear consistency in the changes at school. We did see this unfortunate decrease in the consumption of vegetables, like our previous speaker also saw in her work. And then some of the schools, you know, did different things. We do see a little bit of an increase in fruit consumption at school. Some schools actually had a nice increase in fruit consumption where they really focused on it, and some of the schools just didn't address it. And again, we don't see huge changes across the board in what students are doing in terms of healthy foods, but this definitely shows that there's room to work in that arena, and you do see a little bit of changes, particularly the water going up, the vegetables going down slightly. And another important thing, I think, when we do the work in schools is one of the other things that we hear a lot is, you know, well, we can't do things because students want what's there. And like I said in the beginning, you know, students are saying that they want fresh fruit, they want vegetables. They're actually saying that those things are important. We asked the students a question in 2008, how they felt about the guidelines and rules about what could be served at school in terms of food and beverage. And what you see here is it's a very small percent of the students, 19%, who said they don't like them. And most of them, you know, think they're okay, don't know about them, and a few even say that they like them. And I want to touch briefly on physical activity. We did also look at physical activity. Schools were encouraged to increase their physical activity during the school day through policy changes and to make sure that they're complying with California state law on the amount of time to dedicate to physical activity and to really work on improving the quality of physical activity at school. And the grantees also were working hard in their communities to improve access to and utilization of physical activity resources. So similarly to what we saw in the foods, this is showing you the percent of students that said they were physically active for 10 minutes or more on the left during PE and on the right at school but not in PE class. And you see that in both arenas there was an increase for students in terms of being more physically active at school, both in PE and outside of PE class. And again, now this is asking them about their overall activity, and you can see that what they were doing at school did translate into their overall physical activity in their day. So we see a small increase in the amount of moderate and vigorous physical activity that students reported between 2006 and 2008. Now the numbers are still low, those are the mean minutes, so we're looking at 15 minutes of moderate activity, 15 to 16 minutes, and it was about 19 and a half minutes in 2006 to 20 and a half minutes in 2008 for vigorous activity. And we also were looking at the community environments. How did students utilize parks and rec centers, neighborhood streets, physical activity classes, walking, biking, jogging trails? And what you see there is across the board we were seeing increases in students' utilization of all of these community physical activity resources. Some of the increases were more significant than others, but the trend is the same across all of them. So in conclusion, we are seeing some positive trends in our students in their nutrition and physical activity behaviors from baseline in 2006 until 2008, and that it's looking like, you know, removing some of these worst offending products from the schools is actually changing what students are consuming at school, and they're not making up for it by getting it somewhere else. They're actually consuming less. The student resistance to changes is pretty small. Most of the students are not resistant to the changes. And so I think this is showing that we have a great opportunity here to continue our work in this direction. And clearly we saw that, you know, we do need to emphasize the consumption of healthy foods if we do want to see changes and increases in students' consumption. So I'm getting my word here. I'm going to just finish right up. So let me just, and I just want to make sure you know that SEAC is continuing through 2010. We will have another opportunity to look at the data. And there are lots of presentations at APHA this year where my colleagues who are also working on this project will be presenting. So look for those if this is of interest to you. And I just want to thank you all for your time and your attention, and also a thank you to all of the partners who've worked on the project. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy. That was very, very interesting. Let me just see if I can get us to the next place. Okay, here we go.